we don't disrupt your access. Which server do you connect to?
What do you mean, server? He was asked.
What computer do you connect to when you need to look up student academic information? The answer? admin.rnu.edu gave him the name of the computer where student records were stored. This was the first piece of the puzzle. He now knew his target machine. He typed that URL into the computer and got no response. As expected, there was a firewall blocking access. So he ran a program to see if he could connect to any of the services running on that computer, and found an open port with a telnet service running, which allows one computer to connect remotely to another computer and access it as if directly connected using a dumb terminal. All he would need to gain access would be the standard user ID and password. Lingo. Dumb terminal. A terminal that doesn't contain its own microprocessor. Dumb terminals can only accept simple commands and display text, characters, and numbers. He made another call to the registrar's office, this time listening carefully to make sure he was talking to a different person. He got a lady, and again he claimed to be from the university's computer center. They were installing a new production system for administrative records, he told her. As a favor, he'd like her to connect to the new system, still in test mode, to see if she could access student academic records okay. He gave her the IP address to connect to and talked her through the process. In fact, the IP address took her to the computer Michael was sitting at in the campus library. Using the same process described in Chapter 8, he had created a login simulator, a decoy sign-in screen looking just like the one she was accustomed to seeing when going onto the system for student records. "It's not working," she told him. "It keeps saying login incorrect." By now, the login simulator had fed the keystrokes of her account name and password to Michael's terminal. Mission accomplished. He told her, "Oh, some of the accounts haven't been brought over yet to this machine. Let me set up your account and I'll call you back." Careful about tying up loose ends, as any proficient social engineer needs to be, he would make a point of phoning later to say that the test system wasn't working right yet, and if it was okay with her, they'd call back to her or one of the other folks there when they had figured out what was causing the problem. The Helpful Registrar. Now Michael knew what computer system he needed to access, and he had a user's ID and password. But what commands would he need in order to search the files for information on a computer science graduate with the right name and graduation date? The student database would be a proprietary one, created on campus to meet the specific requirements of the university and the registrar's office, and would have a unique way of accessing information in the database. First step in clearing this last hurdle, find out who could guide him through the mysteries of searching the student database. He called the registrar's office again, this time reaching a different person. He was from the office of the Dean of Engineering, he told the lady, and he asked, "Who are we supposed to call for help when we're having problems accessing the student academic files?" Minutes later, he was on the phone with the college's database administrator, pulling the sympathy act. "I'm Mark Sellers in the registrar's office. You feel like taking pity on a new guy? Sorry to be calling you, but they're all in a meeting this afternoon, and there's no one around to help me. I need to retrieve a list of all graduates with a computer science degree between 1990 and 2000. They need it by the end of the day, and if I don't have it, I may not have this job for long. You willing to help out a guy in trouble?" Helping people out was part of what this database administrator did, so he was extra patient as he talked Michael step by step through the process. By the time they hung up, Michael had downloaded the entire list of computer science graduates for those years. Within a few minutes, he had run a search, located two Michael Parkers, chosen one of them, and obtained the guy's social security number, as well as other pertinent information stored in the database. He had just become Michael Parker, B.S. in Computer Science,
graduated with honors 1998. In this case, the BS was uniquely appropriate. Analyzing the con. This attack used one ruse I haven't talked about before. The attacker asking the organization's database administrator to walk him through the steps of carrying out a computer process he didn't know how to do. A powerful and effective turning of the tables, this is the equivalent of asking the owner of a store to help you carry a box containing items you've just stolen from his shelves out to your car. Mitnick message. Computer users are sometimes clueless about the threats and vulnerabilities associated with social engineering that exist in our world of technology. They have access to information, yet lack the detailed knowledge of what might prove to be a security threat. A social engineer will target an employee who has little understanding of how valuable the information being sought is, so the target is more likely to grant the stranger's request. Preventing the con. Sympathy, guilt, and intimidation are three very popular psychological triggers used by the social engineer, and these stories have demonstrated the tactics in action. But what can you and your company do to avoid these types of attacks? Protecting data. Some stories in this chapter emphasize the danger of sending a file to someone you don't know, even when that person is or appears to be an employee, and the file is being sent internally to an email address or fax machine within the company. Company security policy needs to be very specific about the safeguards for surrendering valued data to anyone not personally known to the sender. Exacting procedures need to be established for transferring files with sensitive information. When the request is from someone not personally known,